Today we are again continuing in the book of James. Lord willing, next Sunday we will wrap up this series. In chapter 1, when we began this series, James talked about suffering, and that suffering is the process by which God uses to bring us to a place of maturity, to grow us in our relationship with Him, to grow us in our understanding of Him and who He is. And in chapter 5, we're looking at, as he read, chapter 5, 7 to 12. And in chapter 5, James is addressing suffering again. And he's doing it in order that we might encourage, that he might encourage these Jewish Christians that were being oppressed. They were being persecuted. They had been being persecuted for what they believed, their faith, and so they had scattered abroad throughout Palestine, and so they were living in different places. They were uprooted. They were living amongst the Gentile people, and so they were being oppressed and mistreated, and this is kind of where what's, not last week because we had baptism last week, but this is kind of where what Simon was talking about in chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, that they were, the Christians were being oppressed by the rich. Now, there are a few common ways that people respond to suffering and oppression or injustice. Some people, they just simply enjoy a good fight. And they look for opportunities to dig in their heels and fight. They probably focus more on the villain, you know, the cause of the suffering itself. And perhaps sometimes as we go through suffering, sometimes as we go through different phases of hardship or injustice, we actually come to the place where we feel that God is the villain. And because he's allowing the suffering in the first place. And I mean, we can turn to the Psalms or the book of Job, and you can look at how that plays out. Now, others, they want to run away from the problem. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They just want to ignore it and not deal with it all. And then there's thirdly, there are some who play the victim. Woe is me. Life is hard. You don't deny it, you don't fight against it. You wallow in it. And James writes to tell these Jewish Christians who are being persecuted and oppressed how authentic followers of Jesus live out their lives in light of the fact that we will go through suffering. We will be persecuted in this world. We will go through these things. And so how are we as followers of Jesus to live that out in everyday life? Regardless of the suffering, regardless of the injustice. And James is telling them and us what an authentic follower of Jesus looks like, living in oppression, living under oppression or suffering or injustice. And if we start at, we're going to start and walk through James 5, 7 to 12. And so we're beginning with verse 7. He says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and the late rains." And of course, I mentioned this earlier already, but the "therefore" actually takes us back to verses 1 to 6. So considering the oppression that you've been experiencing in the first six verses by the hands of the rich, and they were being treated terribly. They were being, wages were being withheld, and there was many injustices that were being played out for the righteous poor. And so he's saying, therefore, considering the oppression, considering the injustice, Jesus gives them and us principles which would govern followers of Jesus when they experience suffering. Remember, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, but we will experience suffering. We will experience injustice. We will experience all those things. And that's why James is telling them and us. It applies to us so much because we experience the same things that they were going through in their lives. But he's giving us some principles. So the first principle is to be patient. How many people just love it when somebody, "Oh, just be patient, just hold on"? I mean, those are the worst things. You know, there's things that are going on in our life, and my wife says, "Oh, you just need more patience." "Yes, I know, but not right now." You know, there's this idea that patience is a hard thing. I don't want to wait for anything. But this is a principle as we live in all of life. And what it means here to be patient is to stand fast. Even when you'd like to run away. Even when you'd like to stand up and fight. Stand firm in your faith. James is calling these Jewish Christians who have been scattered, uprooted from them. They went out of their homes. They're doing all kinds of hardship of living in a strange community with different people. Who knows where their families all wound up? And so they were enduring hardship. And James is telling these Jewish Christians that are enduring this kind of hardship to endure until the coming of the Lord. It's an interesting statement. As we look at it, I know how old you are, but we've lived a lot of lives. When is that going to be? But notice what James doesn't do or doesn't say in these verses when he's talking about people who are living under oppression, who are suffering great injustices at the hands of unbelievers, at the hands of rich people, at the hands of enemies. Notice what James doesn't do. He doesn't incite this group of people, these followers of Jesus, to anger. He doesn't cause unrest in their hearts. He doesn't, get them together to do a protest. He doesn't say, hey, you've been oppressed by the rich. You don't have any power here. You don't have any say here. And if you don't say something, who will? He doesn't invite these Jewish followers of Jesus into a class war. But rather, James advises them and us to have a patient endurance for the ultimate justice of God's judgment. You see, we think that we know and have the ideal and the right way to impose our justice onto people. But we don't, because we're imperfect people. But what James is saying here is, be patient, because God's judgment is coming, and His judgment is perfect. All of those injustices that we experience as followers of Jesus, all of the injustices that we perceive as followers of Jesus, God will deal with those. We don't have to worry about them. But what James says is, wait patiently. Because this is how followers of Jesus live in the midst of persecution and injustice. But one of the things that patience and waiting doesn't mean, have patience, doesn't mean that we sit by idly. It doesn't mean that there's no activity at all, that we just let things happen. No, it doesn't mean that we simply wait until the injustice is over or the suffering has stopped. And James uses the example of the farmer to point that out, to illustrate productive patience. Because the farmer, he's faithful. He plants his seed. He weeds around. Now, I'm not talking about the big farmers that we see today. I'm talking about, these guys here. They would have known about the local individual farmers who had a little piece of land, a little plot of land, and they would have planted their seed. And they would have weeded. And they would have tilled the soil. Like, they were actively working, and yet as they planted their seed, day two and day three, there's nothing coming up. What do you do? Do you till it under because nothing is coming up? No. You have patience because you know and understand what it takes to grow a seed, from this seed to take root and grow into a plant. You know that there's a process. You know that it takes time. You know that it needs water. So he says, be patient for the spring rains. Be patient for the fall rains. But don't be inactive. Or the weeds will take over your crop. And as followers of Jesus, we too must serve faithfully, being about the work of making disciples as we wait patiently, even when the harvest day seems so incredibly far away. We need to wait on God and not lose heart. And just as the farmer understands what it takes for that seed to germinate and to grow and plant roots and all of those things, I have no idea, I'm not a farmer. But what it takes. They know what it takes. But as followers of Jesus, we too know, we should know what it takes to build into our lives and to grow, how we grow in our faith and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. It's a process. It takes time and it takes patience. Don't lose heart. And possibly it might help to consider that victories are won by patience and persistence. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered that victories are won by patience and persistence? We always think you gotta act fast. I mean, that's my problem too. I have no patience, or I think it's growing. I don't know. I hope it is, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. But it's so hard to wait. But even in that waiting, there's a lot of things that are accomplished in this world, good or bad. For good or bad. And like I mentioned already, patience is the fruit of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's the great thing. We don't simply have to try harder. We don't have to simply try and muster up or work up some kind of strong thought process to live in patience and walk in patience, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And as we nurture that relationship with God, know and understand and walk in intimate relationship with Him, the fruit of the Spirit will just grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those things will grow. Because that is the goal of God bringing us to maturity through the process of suffering, through the process of trial. The patience people see of us speaks volumes to the world. The patience people seeing in us, living in light of suffering, living in light of persecution, living in light of injustice, is a clear testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, to those around us. It speaks volumes, and sometimes we think we have to speak volumes, but if we allow the gospel to be seen as we live out our everyday lives in and through the suffering, in and through the hardship, it will speak volumes. Because our suffering is an opportunity to grow in our faith and knowledge of God as we walk in full confidence in who, of His will being accomplished. See, that's part of patience. It's not just try harder to be patient. It's knowing and understanding God to the point where we recognize that His integrity, His character will lead us, will develop what we need to make us into the person He desires us to be. There's a process that's going on through suffering. We talked about it in that first sermon series. And the second principle James gives us as we endure hardship is in verse 8. You too, be patient. Here's a principle. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. And what this is saying, what it means is simply this. Fix your heart on God. Fix your heart on Jesus. Stand fast in the truth of His word and His character, who He says He is. Stand fast in that. It's to set on the Lord in confidence, to walk in and grow in your relationship with Jesus. Don't give up. Don't lose heart, because you're moving towards Him, not away from Him. And with hearts rooted, established in God's word, we are more likely to live as an authentic follower of Jesus when we know the truth of His word, when we know and understand His character and how we are to live that out. Because when we know and understand the truth of His character, we know that He's not out to get us. We know that He's not out to punish us. We know that He's not out to just see us utterly destroyed in this life. That's not His character. That's not at all His character. He is loving, gracious, and merciful. You see it all through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And so when we know His character and understand His character, then we trust Him as we're walking through the suffering and all of the hardship of life. And what he wants to do is he wants the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And the only way this fruit grows, the only way that we grow in that relationship is through trials and troubles, through the suffering. So instead of growing impatient with God and with ourselves, we must yield to the Lord and permit the fruit to grow. And it's interesting that he uses this term. So this is quite a few years ago, a couple thousand years ago, when this was written. But he says, be patient as Jesus' coming is soon. It was soon for James's audience, and it's soon for us. What do you mean? How does that play out? Well, we'll get to that. Because be patient as Jesus is coming soon, we have the expectation. What it does is it should give us the expectation of a reward and perfected justice so that we can establish our hearts in the assurance of the Lord's return. But we often, do you ever give up and think, okay, for how many couple thousand of years Jesus is coming soon and he's not, like, is he really coming? But I believe that every generation of Jesus followers are to live with the expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. Live lives of integrity. As we are waiting, as we're walking through this suffering, live lives of integrity as he could come at any time. That's what he's telling us. James proclaimed it, and it's still true today. So in light of his imminent return, be about the work, have an urgency for the lost. Well, now you're saying, well, you just said be patient. But in that patience, in the waiting of the Lord's return, in the waiting of his perfect justice being served unto the ungodly, wait for his return, but be about his work, serving him. We saw a couple of opportunities this morning. There's some help needed in Connect classes. There's some help needed in VBS. There's different ways and opportunities to serve. We can be about his business. We can be about serving him in this time. And Jesus is coming soon, and he will bring the reward that we have patiently waited and stood unwavering in our faith. And perhaps one of the challenges for these Jewish Christians that they were facing is that they were acting out of a frustration. How often when you're walking through suffering and it seems unending or people are getting on your case, how often do we take it out on our the people that are around us? How often do we take it out on our family? Because we are frustrated. And so maybe that's what was happening with these people, because James is addressing a real situation here. And James is saying to be firmly rooted in your faith, to flourish in your faith, even when suffering comes. Even when oppressors approach you, stand firm. Don't waver. And in James 5, verse 9, James mentions the third principle as one endures hardship and suffering is to be kind to one another. And it kind of flows out of that last statement I made, that we often get frustrated when things aren't going our way. And verse 9 says, do not complain. Some translations will say grumble. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So when we experience times of hardship, times of at least perceived injustice, they can often make us less than loving Christians towards our brothers and sisters. So James tells us that even when you're going through hardship, even when you feel like you're experiencing injustice, don't become a grumbler, don't become a complainer, but have patience. Walk in the faith and knowledge of you know that God is sovereign and he will accomplish his good and perfect will. When others oppress us, we are likely to vent our frustrations on those closest and dearest to us. I mean, how often do you come home from work? You take it out on your wife or husband or your children. Some of the stuff that you've gone through that day. But James is saying, regardless of the injustice you face, regardless of the hardship, don't be a complainer. Don't take it out on others. That's not how followers of Jesus live out their lives. And Jesus is coming. The time is near. And one of the offices of Jesus is the office of judge. And Jesus comes not only to judge the world, that's true, but don't forget what 2 Corinthians 5:10 says. It says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed or rewarded for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Jesus will also come to judge the faithfulness of Christians. And if our lives have been filled with grumbling and complaining, don't you sometimes wonder if Jesus will have every right to come and back to us and essentially say, "Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you have patience? Why didn't you believe that I could and would work even in the difficult situations?" Now, sometimes we benefit from seeing examples of what that might look like, or even the possibility. Is it even possible to live with patience, to walk with patience in the light of suffering, in the light of hardship? What could that look like? Man, in my, sometimes, if, I mean, maybe you're right in the heart of it, and it actually looks impossible. But that's why James here turns and he gives us an example so that we don't lose heart. In James 5 verse 10, it says, "As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." If you look through the prophets, how many of them, you know, have walked through some hard stuff? How many of them were oppressed? I mean, even as an example, you can look at Noah. And Noah was tasked by God to build this ark in a place where they had never seen rain or floods. They had no... Like, how do you fit that into the context when you haven't lived that out? And yet, during the time it built, took to build that ark, 120 years or so, I believe it was, as he was building, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was treated as an idiot for building this thing. But the whole time that he was building this ark, he was constantly telling the people and warning the people of the coming judgment. And I mean, for... Like, how do you patiently build when all of these people are ridiculing you for building this ark? Nobody's helping you. In fact, they may have even maybe pushed back a little bit and made it harder for him to build this big boat. How do you continually to patiently move forward each and every day, continuing to preach the word of God day after day? Use him as an example when you're struggling to be patient. And then James points to another Old Testament example in verse 11. "We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings with the Lord, that the Lord is full of compassion and he is merciful." That's interesting, that last little statement there in light of what Job went through. That's an interesting statement. But Job lost everything under attack from Satan. And even though he lost everything, he didn't curse God. He didn't deny God. He refused to turn his back on God. Even though he had no idea why all of this was happening, he persevered. And he went through a lot of hardship. And then as we see these examples, we come to verse 12, and it seems a little bit disconnected. Verse 12 seems disconnected from the rest of the account that we're reading, and it's... It almost seems like it doesn't belong here. However, it does continue to speak to the character of followers of Jesus as we go through suffering and hardship. Be men and women of integrity. John 5:12 says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment." The words of a follower of Jesus should always be trustworthy. You shouldn't have to swear on your mama's grave, right? That's what so many people do. "No, I swear on my mother's grave. I don't even know what that means." You shouldn't have to say, okay, like for real now. No, I'm going to really tell you the truth. No, honestly. No, I'm going to really be honestly. Or can I be honest now? But what were you before? You know what? It says something about your character. But what James is saying here is, as followers of Jesus, our character should be such that when we say yes, our yes is yes and our no is no. So, and when we walk through trials and tribulation and struggles like they are going through, we keep and maintain the character and integrity of a follower of Jesus. Even in hardship and suffering, the character of follower of Jesus, that is, your word is enough. We're not supposed to make flippant promises that we can't keep or will cause our integrity to be called into question. Whether we're suffering or being treated unjustly, walk as men and women with integrity. And I know when we're at the heart of suffering, when we're going through the hard things, it's difficult for us to see the spiritual value in suffering. It's equally difficult to maintain spiritual integrity in the midst of hard suffering, in the midst of being persecuted, in the midst of oppression. And that's why James tells us to strengthen our hearts, to come to a place where we trust, place of trust and faith that God's perfect will is going to be accomplished. And it's going to be accomplished through suffering. It's going to be accomplished through injustice or perceived injustice. Now, if we look at Job, I mean, at first glance, Job's story hardly seems to give any hope. Like, there is a lot of bad things that this guy is going through. And we can easily jump to the conclusion that God is, in fact, cruel in the things that he allowed Job and us to go through. It does feel like that at times, doesn't it? We can come to that place, especially if we're not firmly planted, especially if we're not firmly rooted in God. However, we do see that God, in his grace and mercy, restricted what Satan was allowed to do. He acted out of compassion. As bad as what Job suffered, Satan wanted to do more. Satan wasn't happy with the outcome. He wanted to do more to Job, but God wouldn't let him. And when you and I stop and considering the suffering that we have gone through, like stop and considering the suffering, many of you, I know your journey, and it's been a hard journey. Many of you have gone through a lot of suffering. But I want you to take and to consider what God has not allowed you to go through. That's his grace and his mercy. Because he's not allowed you to go through everything that Satan's wanted to do to you. That's why you're here today. That's his grace and mercy. God was very compassionate and merciful to Job. And God sustained Job with his hand throughout all of the sufferings. Now in Acts, in the New Testament, we read that when Stephen was brutally murdered for teaching Christ crucified, he cried out to God. And it's so interesting. I think I've missed this, or maybe it just stuck out this time around. It's so interesting that he cried out to God for God to have mercy on those who mistreated him, who were killing him, who were stoning him to death. He wasn't crying out in justice. He wasn't crying out and trying to incite anger or a war. What he was doing was he was saying, God, have mercy on these people. What did he mean? Because Stephen realized what would happen, the outcome of these people's lives if they didn't recognize their sinfulness and turn to God for salvation. Isn't that incredible? That's where you begin to understand and are okay that God's ultimate justice will come to fruition in the end. How do you respond? How do I respond when I'm going through suffering? Man, I've shared with you, church, I've shared with you some things that I haven't done very well when I've gone through suffering. What do we do as followers of Jesus when we've been mistreated? Are we asking God to show those people mercy? Oh, what would it look like if you and I were to treat our enemies like Stephen, by bringing them before the throne of God, before the throne of God's mercy, and saying, God, have mercy on these people. All of us are either going through suffering or going to go through suffering. Some of us will be mistreated, treated unjustly. So how do you and I prepare to endure living in a fallen world with sin, suffering, until the Lord's coming? Well, it's like running a marathon. You know, you don't just jump off the couch and you don't run 5K or a marathon, that's a half marathon, 10K right away. You have to start training your body. You take little steps. It takes patience to actually get to that point. So we need to strengthen our muscles. We need to strengthen build up our cardio. And so too, we need to strengthen our spiritual endurance for this race, as Paul called it at times. We need to take the time to build into our spiritual lives. And perhaps, maybe it's time to join a life group. This is an opportunity to grow in your knowledge of Jesus through not only just looking at the Word of God together, but how do you live that out now? You know, that's the community to do that, to get into God's word, to figure out how it looks in real life, and praying together and getting to know people, getting real with people and their story. The community of Jesus followers adds so much value as you have others to support, encourage, bear, you know, that's what we're called to do, bear one another's burdens and even admonish one another when needed, right? When necessary. So that might be something that you need to do. Walk together with somebody in your journey. Maybe you need to actually stop hanging around some people who view everything negative and are forcing you to take action that you don't even want to take action, but that's where your mind is. So possibly you need to consider who is speaking into your lives. And as you're waiting through the suffering, as you're walking through that and journeying together with this body here, this church family, we have opportunity to work side by side, walk side by side with one another, to build into the kingdom of God, to be able to speak into somebody else's life. We have that opportunity even when we're hurting. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, and man, we're all probably some of us have just come through a period of suffering or hardship. Maybe we're right in the heart of it. God, I pray that you would give us the spiritual awareness to live out our lives as followers of Jesus with integrity, to live out what James was speaking about here. To live as men and women of faith with integrity. Oh God, thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that we don't have to walk this journey alone. God, I pray that even today, if there are those suffering and don't know where to turn and what to do, then I pray that they would today have boldness to join a life group, speak to a friend, speak to a pastor. Yeah, because God, we don't want to do this on our own. Father, we thank you that you're here with us. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.